All right, again, turn to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Now, I'm going to reduce the context, at least in my reading, to just a few verses of what I read earlier as our scripture reading, but I want to read these verses again, and I will try to deal, of course, not with every statement or every word, but try to deal with this context as a whole. Romans chapter 4. If you're there, let me kind of overlap a little of what I gave you last week. I'll begin in verse 9. I'm going to read down through verse 16. Cometh this blessedness then, what blessedness? The blessedness of sin, iniquities rather, forgiven. Sins covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. The blessing of righteousness imputed. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. And it was. Because that's what the book of God says. The Old Testament is clear about that. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in circumcision? The answer is clear. Faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness while he was uncircumcised. Abraham was circumcised after it is said that faith was imputed to him for righteousness. Thus, he says, not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, and that is what it is. A sign, and as he will say, a seal, but that is it. That is it. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had, yet being uncircumcised. So the circumcision, Mac, added nothing to the righteousness. It was a sign and seal of the righteousness he already had by faith. Amen. Which, the seal of righteousness, being uncircumcised, that he might be them, and he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had, yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, because not all believers were, nor are, circumcised. Some are, some are not. And he goes on, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. In either state, whether it is in the state of uncircumcision or in the state of circumcision, and the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only because law deeds are not the way before God. Circumcision didn't condemn anybody. It didn't condemn anybody. Unless they look to it for their righteousness before God. Therefore, I will say this about circumcision. I am against circumcision for righteousness before God. Amen. Now, if that makes me an antinomian, so be it. But it does not. It does not make me against God's law. It makes me against circumcision for righteousness before God. And I've got a point to get to here in a moment, but I don't want to start that now. And the father of the circumcision to him, not of the circumcision only, but look, but who also walk in the steps. So Paul here is including our walk as well. Yes or no?
Yeah.
Yes or no? He's including our walk as well. And what is its basis? But who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. So the circumcision did not profit him before God, not one iota. He already had all the righteousness he could have when he was uncircumcised, when he believed God. See that? Let's go on. Four. Now here's going to be some strong statements. For the promise that he should be heir of the world. We'll look at that a little later. For the promise that he should be heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For, and he's going to explain why he makes such a profound statement. For, if they which are of the law, notice he does not even say they which are under the law, but they which are of the law. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect, because the law worketh wrath. And I will jump ahead. That's wrath from God and wrath from men toward God. The law never works anything else but wrath. 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 Because the law worketh wrath. For where no law is, there is no transgression. As a matter of fact, and this is a side note, Paul will go on to tell us in the next chapter, chapter 5, that until Moses came and actually gave the law, now the law is as eternal as God is, but the law was not eternally given. As a matter of fact, Adam did not even have the law of Moses written in his heart when he was in the garden. He had no need for it. He had one prohibition, and one prohibition only. Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he broke that one prohibition against God. And Paul makes an amazing statement. There was no sin imputed until the law was given by Moses. But yet sin existed and was real. But that's a side note, and that's something we will consider later. Because the law worketh wrath. For where no law is, there is no transgression. And here's the end. It's verse 16 for my message this morning. Therefore, it is of faith. And I'm not trying to add to the context, but this is the preponderant testimony of Scripture. It is of faith from start to finish. And we'll see that from God's book. It is of faith from the beginning to the end. As a matter of fact, I believe I have the right to say it is of faith as far as in the purpose and mind of God from eternity to eternity. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace. To the end, that is for this reason, to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is, notice this, of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Now, excuse me. Let me say, for those who may hear most of these messages that are recorded and go out live stream, are eventually brought to TV, but they're brought to TV much later. And I just want folks who may hear these messages on TV that usually there's a lot more to the message than what you get on TV. So I would encourage you, when you hear that message on TV, go to Sermon Audio or one of these other places, go to the chapel website and listen to everything the man preached. Now listen to me. Here's my title, and this is what my subject is going to be. Heirship by law empties faith and negates the promise. Did I state that any different? I may have used a different word, but did I state that any different than what Paul has just wrote here by inspiration? Heirship by law. This is my title. This is my subject. Heirship by law empties faith and negates the promise. For if they which are of the law be heirs, and that's the indication, that's all they got, is law. Because if you got law, when people were circumcised, most were circumcised when they were 8 days old. They had no say-so in the matter. So circumcision for them was just what they grew up to be. They couldn't help be circumcised. Their parents had them circumcised. That does not mean they're outside of the promise of God. But their circumcision didn't bring them into the promise of God. Faith must be given by God. Even if you've been circumcised. Even if you're trying to love God. Just trying to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is emptied. Do you see that? Faith is made void, and the promise, what a statement to make. The promise made of none effect. I kind of see it as kind of equal to that statement where the Apostle Paul said, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by law, then Christ is dead in vain. That's a big statement, is it? Faith reckoned for righteousness transcends flesh. Faith reckoned for righteousness transcends flesh works. Faith reckoned for righteousness transcends the law. Faith reckoned for righteousness transcends law works. Faith reckoned for righteousness transcends flesh law works, because law works deal with and with only the flesh. And when these people think that they can keep at least some part of the law to have some kind of, even if it's a righteousness that's not based upon acceptance with God, but at least for God's blessings in this life, those that do so are saying they are actually bringing their flesh in lines with the command of God, because the law deals with the flesh, and the flesh is fallen. At best, believers are to mortify our members that are upon the earth, not try to conform them to God's law, because you cannot do it. So again, I say, faith reckoned for righteousness transcends all these other things. Even physical circumcision was only a sign. Isn't that what this says? Was only a sign, and it was a seal, but it was never the proof nor the reality of faith reckoned for righteousness. Amen. That's right. You hear what I just said? Even physical circumcision was only a sign and a seal, and was never the proof nor the reality of faith reckoned for righteousness, because Abraham had righteousness imputed when he was yet uncircumcised. And his circumcision didn't increase his righteousness in any way. And anybody who don't agree with that, don't agree with this book. But it's even deeper than that. Paul also wrote these words, and we looked at them. For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. For he is a Jew which is one, what? Inwardly. That's what matters. Inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Righteousness imputed, yea, iniquities forgiven, yea, sins covered, yea, sin not imputed, was never and shall never be by flesh. It shall never be by flesh works. It shall never be by law, and it will never be by law works, because law works are flesh works. So much so that Paul, in writing to the Philippian believers, calls the righteousness of the law my own righteousness. And that's not what I seek to stand in. He said, I want to stand in the righteousness which is of God by the faith of Jesus Christ. Amen. He said, you want to brag about the flesh? I more. Yet there are some. Oh, we don't brag about the flesh. We believe man's totally depraved. You say you believe he's totally depraved. But if you believe that you can conform to God's law, you are saying that your flesh is not that depraved. It has always been faith, 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 faith. Faith. Preacher, I get tired of you saying that, so I will say it more. Faith, 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 faith. Always faith. but not just faith in a judicial sense. It is faith in an everyday walk sense. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the And verse 12. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father which he had being yet uncircumcised. So faith is the only thing that matters. Because even as a believer, you do not love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. You can love God in the Spirit and by the power of the Spirit, but you still have the old man and you never love God with that man. And anyone who is teaching law, righteousness in any way, shape, or form, I don't care what they say, the book equates law with governing the flesh. If you think that you're keeping God's law, you're saying your flesh ain't really quite that bad. But our flesh is quite that bad. As a matter of fact, it's worse than we really know. It's worse than we really, really know. So again, it is a faith in the everyday walk sense. Those who teach salvation by grace through faith, but walk by grace and law, they are liars. As a matter of fact, they are liars sometimes. Sometimes of the deepest dye. Because while they will point their fingers at me, and they will point their fingers at the other ministers who stand here and publicly preach the Word of God, and they will point their fingers at other ministers who are out there trying to preach the free and reigning grace of God. And they will point their fingers at people like you and like you because you don't understand the law like they do. They are liars. Somebody showed me one of them's social media page. And I looked at it. And one of the headings this person had in their social media page. Be careful, folks, when you put your stuff out there on the social media page. Single Christian man. He's a twice divorced Christian man. At best. Single ain't the same as divorced. Single means you ain't married. You ain't never been married. You are single. They lie. The book says don't bear false witness. What is it to call it? When you've been divorced, I don't care if you've been divorced one time, Jack, just one time, you can't call yourself single. And then, here's the kicker. You look at the friends. Now, folks, I got to be careful here. Not because I'm afraid of exposing someone. That person's already exposed himself. Left this assembly and called us all heretics. But then you look at the friends. Now, I don't know a lot about these social media pages, but I am told you can pretty much delete a lot of this stuff. Somebody sends you, you can get rid of it. But it's still there. I seen it myself. Scantily clad women in lewd positions. Now, what are you trying to do? Be a friend of publicans and sinners? That's what a self-righteous man do. Well, I'm just being a friend of publicans and sinners. No, you are consorting with publicans and sinners. You take that kind of trash down off of your public media spot. You don't associate. Folks, I'm talking about lewd stuff. Lewd stuff. And yet they want to point the finger at you. Point the finger at me. They are hypocrites. And so am I. If I ever try to tell you, I'm making some inroads concerning God's law. Because I ain't never made one inroad concerning God's law. The law of God is at best fulfilled in me, but it is never fulfilled by me.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. I know some people think us preachers are supposed to be, we love everybody and people fuss and we just cow down in the corner. By God's grace, this preacher ain't going to. I'm not going to cow down in the corner. Faith does not need law also. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. Here's the second thing. No. I won't give you this one. Turn with me, if you will, to Galatians. And Mac, you said the Galatians will tell you about the law and grace. It will. Yeah. It will. Listen to what Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 3. Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently sent forth, crucified among you. And notice, it's crucified among you. In other words, the gospel came to you in such a way that the crucifixion of Christ, as though it happened right in front of you, it became real to you. It's your only hope. It's your heart's desire. This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law. See how he puts it in that phrase? By the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. Are ye so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the law? Is that what he wrote? He said, by the flesh. Why? Because the law deals with the flesh. And the law still tells me how bad my flesh is. Mac, every time I read God's law, it exposes my flesh and your flesh and how corrupt it still is. My only inroads before God Almighty's holy law is the blessed Son of God himself when he died on that tree and satisfied the law's holy demands. Amen. That's my only hope. Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? The answer is rhetorical. A resounding God forbid. Secondly, the promise of God is faith-oriented only. Verse 13 of Romans 4. For the promise that he should be heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. What does it mean by heir of the world? Now, I know there are those out there today that means you're supposed to have all the cars you want and all the money you want and your job's always great and you're always being blessed of the Lord. Put that in quotes. Now, that's what they think that means. Heirs of the world. No, he's talking about Abraham being the father of all the faithful. Abraham being the one who stands out as the prime example of God's work of salvation through Jesus Christ by grace through faith. And the promise that he should be heir of the world was not to Abraham or his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith, because if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is emptied and the promise is nothing. Nothing. No law. No law. Should I say that? Do I have to say it again for somebody to get? No law. Was not, what is it? Was not through the law. How many times must God say it for us to believe it? He should only say it once. But as I've told you before, as I begin this whole book here, there's no coincidence that anything happened as they happened. And I told you, be careful when you got a this, and it's a thus saith the Lord, and you think, well, since this is true, then that must be true, but that is not thus saith the Lord. Let the that alone. Don't try to reason it in your own mind, because you will go askew of God's holy truth. And as we will see, that applies also to our life and our conduct. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. For how shall we that are dead to sin? Now, that's the question. Now, I don't want to get off on that one yet. Dead to sin. Here's the question. Am I dead to sin?
Yeah.
That's the question. And I see some of you just sitting there wondering, what's that mean? You'll have to keep listening if God really keeps you alive. Because I ain't going into that right now. Dead to the sin. But those who are not dead to sin, they will continue to sin. And they will continue to convince themselves, this will be an avenue of God's grace toward me. It may. It may not be. Because grace, after all, is sovereign. There are people in hell for murder. There are murderers God has saved and took to heaven.
Amen. That's right.
There are whores in hell. There are whores that God saved and took to glory. And I remember one whore he saved. And I like this. I like the way Tim James said it. He said, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man accused thee? She said, no more, man, Lord. And he said, listen, think of it. Neither do I condemn thee. Oh, that he would tell me that. But he didn't stop there. And I will put you in court. This is Tim James' quote from it. Now quit that whoring. That's what he told her, didn't he? Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. He ain't talking about sinless perfection. Quit that whoring. Drop it like a hot potato. Now, do you need Christ's forgiveness or do you need your whoring? Take your pick. Take your pick. No law. No law. No law. The promise was not through law. Here is the third thing. No legalist is an heir. For if they which are of the law be heirs. You see that? Now, notice what it's not they who are of the law but believe God, because some people were of the law and believed God. He goes on to say that in verse 16. But if you're just of the law, you are not an heir. If your righteousness, you think it proceeds from the law, you're not an heir. Somebody said, preacher, I just don't understand all this. God don't tell you or command you to understand it. He commands you to bow down to his son, to worship him, to serve him, to walk for him. That's what he commands. Why? Because the law works wrath. Isn't it amazing how the legalists don't ever really want to tell the truth about what the law really does? They want to talk about how they try to keep the law. You see, it's not just those under the law, but it's also those who are of the law. If that's all you got nothing. No legalist is there. Legalists are an affront to both faith and promise. Wouldn't that what that says? They're an affront because, for if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void and the promise of none effect. Now, do they really make that so? No, but they do for their own souls. And they do, but then they're standing before God. Let me go on. A legalist is the enemy of God. No matter how much he or she points there, they're almost always pointing their finger at somebody else. They never can show you their true good law obedience. As I told you, one legalist told one of our pastors here, well, you're just not quite there yet, but never would tell him where he wasn't and how to get there. Because he really thinks, if you're more like me, you'll be there. And isn't that what that one legalist prayed in the temple? Lord, I thank thee that I'm not like other men. Well, I am like other men. And I have both immorality dwelling down in here and legalism dwelling down in here, and I hate them both. And God help me. How do I walk contrary to those things? Only by faith. Only by faith. Somebody says it can't be that simple. It ain't simple. God's got to give you the faith to do it with. He's got to sustain you in the faith to do it with. He has to chasten you when you go out of the line from when you're in it. It ain't simple. It is a profound, complex work of the Almighty God. I tell you, I don't have it said. I think that the salvation of a sinner is a greater creation than when God created this universe. Because he satisfied divine justice and had to in his Son to create a saved sinner. He created this universe out of nothing. He created us out of the blood and sweat and sufferings of Jesus Christ. He did not create us out of nothing. Did you hear what I just said? God either saved you by a circumcised Jew or you'll never be saved. Now there's your circumcision to lean on. His. His. I said that one time in the church and people's mouths dropped open. It's like, how? And these are people been hearing the gospel for years. Really? You don't realize that Jesus of Nazareth, your Lord, was a circumcised Jew? And he's still a circumcised Jew.
Amen.
And he kept the law. And I thank God he did. The law is not associated with peace, but wrath. As I said, it's God's wrath against sin and sins, and man's wrath against all that pertains to God. The law, when seen rightly, will show you your hatred for God, not your love for God. Any man or woman, boy or girl, old or young, that says, well, at least I'm trying to love God with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength, that's not what the law commands. It says, love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. I've tried to convince myself at times I've done that. I ain't never done that. Self is always back there in the forefront somewhere. And I don't see that. I'm not boasting in that, folks. Don't seek righteousness before God by law.
Amen.
It will never work. Don't try to become an heir by law. It will never work. Don't seek the promise by law. It will never work. Legalists, while claiming sanctification under righteousness, they are actually under wrath, and they will exhibit that wrath toward others. You watch them. You can sit and smile, shake a hand, put up with, you know, this and that, but after a while, they cannot stand Christ, 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 and it gets under the skin, and eventually that proverbial straw will break the camel's back and they can take it no more. You don't have to run. You don't have to kick them out. You don't have to give them the ex cathedra. You don't have to excommunicate them. They will eventually leave when you refuse to bow to their self-righteous legalism. And when you continue to publicly proclaim right in front of their face that salvation and service and walk from beginning to end is all by the grace of God in Christ Jesus. Heirship and promise are of faith and faith only, by grace and grace only. Even the circumcised Jew must have faith by grace, because that alone manifests heirship to the promise. Verse 16. Therefore it is of faith. Remember, faith's not with the law. What Paul says when he says, not to that only which is of the law, he's talking about the same thing as he said in verse 14, but he's not negating what he said in verse 14. In other words, is a law-keeping Jew then without hope? No, because this is true. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, because even the man writing this at one time was one of those people. But to them also which is of the faith of Abraham. Do you see it? Who is the father of us all. Now, there are legalists who will go to verse 16 and see right there, you got to have of the law and faith. That ain't what he's talking about. He's saying there are those who are of the law. Are they damned forever? Not if God gives them faith. And it's got to be that way. Because if it ain't that way, nobody would ever be saved. Now, let me just put it this way. Oh, God, thank you for Christ and your graciously giving faith in him. And thank you for that faith, because it's faith only in him. I realize the legalist and the self-righteousness, but you got to have a law to whip people in line. I don't have to have the law for God Almighty to conquer your soul in the beginning, and I don't need a law for God Almighty to continue to conquer your soul unto the end. Amen. If he could bring you out of the spiritual grave, bless God, he can keep you by his power.
Amen.
And he will.
Yeah.
And if you're not kept, then he never brought you out of the grave. I don't care what you think you are, how far you think you've been. You might go 30, 40 years. You turn your back on Christ and Christ only, you've turned your back on your only hope. God be pleased with that truth. Father, we pray that you bless us, keep us, and guide us by the truth of thy word. In Christ's name, amen.